Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, your host, and we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. The purpose of this program these days is to go through the Scripture, our Heavenly Father's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and book by book. Occasionally, we'll go off on a subject or a topic now and then, but for the main part, more than 90% of this program, this is what we'll be doing. Now, last time we left off, we were in chapter 24 of Matthew. We began the session before our last one, by a simple reading of it, and then we spent the entire day yesterday going through the chapter 24 of the Gospel of Matthew, a very controversial chapter having to do with prophecy. I believe that my Heavenly Father answered my prayer and gave me the breakthrough and the understanding I needed, that we needed, really, to understand this prophecy. And it's His Holy Spirit gives me breakthroughs as I'm going through it on the air. And that way I can't claim, well, I knew it all along. And everybody just needs to be as smart as me, right? No, not at all. I know the answers are in His Word. If He tells us to understand, if He's explaining something through His Word to us, then if we persevere, that He will give us the understanding. If we're living our life in a way that's pleasing to Him, the true desire of our mind and our heart and our life is to do only the things that please Him, and that is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that He won't withhold anything from us, but He does withhold from the wicked. And as we read there in chapter 24, it says, the wise will understand. Well, who are the wise? Well, the wise ones are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. The wise ones are the ones that live a lifestyle of repentance because they heard the call of the Messiah when He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The wise ones are the ones who seek first the kingdom of heaven, and they also seek His righteousness, that is to do what's right in His sight. The wise ones understand the love of God that has been shed abroad in their hearts, and they want to return that love to their God, their Savior. And they understand what it means to do that, to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Because all He wants from us is good, and all He wants for us is good. Therefore, whatever His commandments, whatever His statutes are, it is for our own good to obey them, first. And secondly, because we love Him, we want to please Him. And He gave us His Word to show us how to please Him. The law and the prophets were given, as the Messiah exclaims several times, the law and the prophets were given to us to show us how, to teach us how to love our God, Yahuwah, our Creator, and to love our neighbor as ourself. No doubt about it. So we finished up chapter 24. And if you missed chapter 24, that was a very important day, because the Heavenly Father gave us revelation as we were going through it to understand what the problems were, why those who are in the world or who are prophecy pundits have problems understanding that, and what the mystery is to that chapter. The mystery is there. It's revealed in the chapter itself. So if you miss that, go back to yesterday's program on Matthew chapter 24 and listen to that, especially if you're interested in prophecy, especially if you've heard all the hyper-preterists, the preterists, the futurists, and all of these different interpretations of that chapter. You need to listen to yesterday's program so that you can understand and receive that revelation, so that mystery will be revealed to you. But I'll tell you what, it's worthless. And even though he revealed the mystery to us, that he gave us a breakthrough and a revelation yesterday, if you don't have a desire to please him, if you aren't walking in his kingdom, it's all fruitless anyway. If you think the law was nailed to the cross, therefore you can continue to do things that are against the Heavenly Father's law, if you believe that, then you won't understand the mystery. Because Jesus says you're wicked. That's right. He said the wise will understand, but the wicked will not understand. So you will not understand anyway. But keep listening, because I'm going to preach the same message here that my master preached, the Messiah himself, when he came on, when he broke out on the scene in the land of the Yahudim, the land of Judea. When he broke out and began his ministry after fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, after being baptized by John the Baptist and having the Heavenly Father say, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," he went out and he preached a message, and he began by preaching, by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And we read it yesterday in chapter 24, where he says, in the midst of giving this prophetic chapter and all of this prophetic utterance to the listeners, he said, "This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the earth. Then will the end come. Then will the end come. So I preach and I bid all. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever." His kingdom and the border to his kingdom, they're not like the kingdoms of this world. I can go down to Mexico here and I can stand at the border, and there's a fence or there's a crossing gate, and they might let me in and they might not. And when I go into that kingdom of Mexico, they have laws that I must live by. And if I don't live by their laws, well, they're going to take me and they're going to confine me or cast me out of their kingdom. And our Heavenly Father's kingdom, it's not quite like that. You don't have to travel to cross the border. You have to repent to cross the border. What do you repent of? Well, you repent of your licentiousness. You repent of your lawlessness. Then you get to cross into his kingdom. But if you don't desire to practice his law, to do only the things that please him, well, he's not going to detain you in his kingdom. He doesn't have any prisons or jails where he's going to lock you up. You're just going to be kicked out of the kingdom. And you know what? He doesn't have to take you over the border and kick you in the butt. That's right, because you'll be out just like that. Because his kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. It crosses all borders and all nations, because the earth is Yahuwah's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So is there a place on earth where his kingdom is not? But there are plenty of places on earth where there are those who are not in his kingdom. So don't misunderstand. It's not pie in the sky when you die. Yahshua never said, "Repent so you can go to heaven when you die." He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And with that, we're going to jump into our next chapter here. Chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. He says, oh boy, now this one is... This gets back into controversy. I keep tripping over this, and the Heavenly Father is not going to let me escape or slide on this one. Most preachers, when they come to verses like this one, well, they'll just ignore that one aspect of this doctrine preached by our Messiah here that kind of does not jibe with the societal norm. It does not quite jibe with the societal norm of the idolatry of romance. And I know a lot of people get offended when they hear me typify romance as idolatry, because we've all been trained to think that, oh, romance is such a good thing. All those romantic movies. Yeah. And there's some good ones out there. They're decent. Anyway, there's some clean so-called romance movies out there that are good, but the terminology, I guess they don't really call them romance movies, but most people would. But then you have romance movies out there where you know, the woman falls out of love with her husband, and she's really in love with this other guy. And the way the movie is constructed, that even the best of men and women will start siding with the adulteress. Oh, she really loves, she should really be with the one she loves. So that's romance. That's the idolatry of romance. Agape, however, is not like that. See, because agape, the woman would love her husband in obedience, regardless of her feelings. And the love would grow because it would be real. Because love is what you give. Love is what you do. It's not what you feel. Yes, feelings, good feelings can accompany agape, but they don't always accompany agape. Sometimes you feel like killing your children, but you agape them. You endure those times when your feelings about them aren't quite so good because you agape. And your wife, you know. I mean, if you're married, it is a exercise in agape to stay together. Because romance ain't going to do it. That's why, there's so many divorces in America and throughout the world today, because where they rely on romance, it just is not enough. Because feelings change. So we've all been mind controlled by romance in the movies, and we have complete radio stations. As a matter of fact, most of the radio stations in America are dedicated to the idolatry of romance and music. And that's what they worship. The romantic relationships between men and women. No, we need to agape our husbands and agape our wives in obedience to our Heavenly Father and trusting in Him for the best result. So that's quite a preface to Matthew 25 and verse 1, where the Messiah, then shall be, okay, I'm looking at the wrong version here. I'm wondering, why isn't this red? Because I switched versions. Okay, because I was looking at copying. And when I copy out of my ESORT a verse, I have to switch to the other King James Version because it doesn't have the numbers. And I don't want to copy the numbers because they're no good when you're using a reference like that in an email or something. But anyway, here we are. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Yahshua, the Messiah, he speaks and he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And, you know, just starting out the chapter there, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like? And I guess maybe the question is, when? When is then? When is he talking about? So we have to, he said, then there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was talking about the time that the Son of Man would come, when his return. That's what he was talking about, the time of his return, the end time. So we've identified the when. You have to jump back to chapter 24 and the finish up there, because these chapter divisions are kind of random, really. I mean, I'm sure there's that whoever put them in there, I don't know exactly who did. I never researched that. Never seemed important to me. I know it wasn't the Holy Spirit, or this one wouldn't start in the middle of a thought where it says then, and you have to look back and say when, you know. But that's a good thing, and that's a good thing. That's what you should do when you start reading a verse. And if it starts with something like then, where it refers back to something, well, you got to find out what it refers to, or you're losing the context. That's the point of my little travel back there. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them foolish. Now, we were talking about the wise and the wicked. But that's pretty much parallels here, what we're talking about. 5 of them were wise, and then 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And now, of course, if we go back to our last study in chapter 24, this is like an addendum to that, to tell us that that part of the prophecy, no man would know the day or the hour. So the part of the answer to their questions that he gave, which no man knows the day or the hour, would not be fulfilled in that generation. Because remember, this generation shall not come to pass till all these things be fulfilled. But would that include things that no man knoweth the day or the hour? No. Obviously, there's a great distinction there. And that's how we're to rightly divide what that phrase applies to. That all of these things in this generation shall come to pass does not apply to the things that he attaches this phrase that no one knows the day or the hour, but the Father only. It hasn't been revealed to the angels in heaven, not even to the Son of Man. Only the Father knows. He says, the controversial part of this verse is that most people ignore, which I have to touch upon, I guess, because like I said, the Heavenly Father doesn't let me get away with things, like ignoring things like this, is the obvious. You have a bride, you have a groom taking five virgins into his chambers, into his marriage bed. And why would our Heavenly Father use something so wicked and adulterous to portray the kingdom of heaven? We discussed this a little bit when we were discussing marriage. And like I said, Paul said, well, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And what he was saying, if I could bring that up to a more modern language, more understandable language, what Paul was saying is that everything which the law of God allows, I can do it. It's lawful. All things are lawful. Because he wasn't saying adultery is lawful or theft is lawful. Obviously not. But he's saying everything that the law of God allows, I can do. All things are lawful. Then he said, not all things are expedient. And we were talking about the law allowed a man to have more than one wife, the law of Moses. And I have people, I see some preachers go as far as to say that the patriarchs, Jacob and Israel and Moses, were adulterers. That's slander. They were not. And he says it's simply because he lives under the premise that they were Americans. And polygamy and bigamy are against the law in America. So therefore, they must be adulterers. No, it was not adultery. Adultery is clearly spelled out in the Old Testament. Adultery always includes the wife of another man. If the wife of another man is not present, there is no adultery. So when Jacob took another wife, he was not committing adultery. As a matter of fact, Israel had statutes governing additional wives for a man that he could not reduce his care, nurture, and intimacy with his first wife if he took another wife. Also, the law required men in some instances to take another wife. So how could it be adultery if it was commanded by the law? So here we just have this. This goes to support the law, which did allow men in Israel, the Hebrew people, to have more than one wife. Because he's not talking about adultery here. He is the bridegroom. And he is taking multiple virgins to be his wife in this illustration. And if that's adultery, then why would he use something as despicable and sinful as adultery to tell us about the kingdom of heaven? God forbid. He would not. But like I said, it would not be expedient. All things are lawful. Yes, I could, by God's law, even though it would break man's law, but it would not be expedient, not for the ministry. Anyway, we'll move on after we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border.